Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay. Judges? That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast brought to you by Fear the Sword and the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from Fear the Sword and the Step Back. And on today's show, we have a fun conversation with Jay King. He's one of the hosts of the Locked On Celtics podcast. He also covers the Boston Celtics for MassLive.com up in Massachusetts, obviously, and we had a good conversation about the state of the Cavs, the Eastern Conference, and just sort of where those two teams are going to intersect with next week's game really looming over the matchup between these two teams. Of note, it wasn't recorded last night, so this was something that was recorded on Tuesday when the Celtics did have the official lead on the Eastern Conference, but with the Bucks beating the Celtics 103-100 on Wednesday evening, Giannis Antetokounmpo having a good game, even though Isaiah scored 32, he had the Bucks pulling ahead in that game. It's now tied. You'll hear us reference Boston being ahead, but that is no longer the case. But it's still a good conversation. I think it's a very interesting time to be following these Cavs, and I wanted to talk to Jay because I think it's interesting to kind of get other people's insights on this Cavs team and what's going on here. So you'll enjoy that. The Cavs do play a game on Thursday night. They're playing the Chicago Bulls on TNT, so expect some TNT Bulls action. Of course, if you know what that means, the Bulls are always just seemingly winning on TNT. If you want more on the Bulls, know that Sean Hyken and Cody Westerlund are going to have you covered over on the Locked On Bulls podcast. Also, Sean is writing for them by The Athletic, so you can go check that out, and you'll get informed on them. Additionally, a couple notes about the Cavs coming into this game. Mon Shumpert returns. Richard Jefferson did not practice on Wednesday, but it sounds like he's going to play. Kyle Korver will not play. He, of course, is going to be out all week, as we talked about earlier this week. But everyone else looks like they're going to play. It looks like the Cavs will go into full strength. Okay, Felder's still with the team. No wording yet if Larry Sanders is going to be recalled. He did play with the Canton Charge the other night and looked pretty good. You can read about that at fearthesword.com. And we'll see how the Cavs do. It's a pretty interesting game. The Bulls somehow are still fighting for that 8th playoff seed, and they're right in the thick of things. So we'll see how this game goes, see how the Cavs respond after a pretty jarring loss to the Spurs, to say the least. And you also, you know, see how they respond after Kyrie Irving said some interesting things and other guys have said some stuff. And there's just a lot of intrigue about what's going on with the Cavs right now. So we'll see how they look Thursday. Start of another kind of busy stretch of games. They play Thursday. They play Friday against the 76ers and then play Paul George and the Pacers on Sunday. And then next week play the Magic and the Celtics on Tuesday and Wednesday. So another busy stretch for the Cavs. End of the season's coming up quick. We'll see how this all shakes out. But Cavs, Bulls tips off at 8 p.m. Battle of Eastern Conference foes. Jimmy Butler and the Bulls. Cleveland Cavaliers from Chicago. Also, there's still time for you to submit a review of the Locked On Cavs podcast on iTunes. Give it that 5-star rating and review. Leave a short review, written review of the show. and let me know by emailing me at lockedoncavs@gmail.com, and you'll be entered to win a copy of Return of the King by Brian Windhorst and Dave McMenamin. I'm getting a copy of the book just to give out, so it's not like I'm getting this free. I actually just want to give you guys something as a potential thank you for supporting the podcast and giving us that rating and review on iTunes. It's great. I finished the book. Utterly fantastic. You learn so much reading this book. So much drama, so much just insight on the team, and I think it's a fun way to reminisce about a very interesting 2.5-3 years of LeBron's second era. So again, go give that 5-star rating and review, and you'll potentially have a chance to win that book and not have to pay a dime for it. You'll get it on my dime. Also, again, mailbag questions, send those in for next Monday. LockedOnCavs@gmail.com on Reddit and at LockedOnCavs on Twitter. And of course, we'll be back tomorrow recapping Cavs Bulls. So hopefully we'll have something interesting to talk about one way or the other on Friday. So here's myself, Jay King from Mass Live and the Locked On Celtics podcast, talking about the Cavs, the Celtics, the Eastern Conference, a bunch of NBA stuff. Hope you guys enjoy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, Jay King from MassLive.com. We are doing a crossover episode with Locked On Cavs, Chris Manning from the Locked On Cavs podcast. Obviously, the top of the Eastern Conference standings right now, a little bit surprising with the Boston Celtics a half game up for first place and the Cleveland Cavaliers slumping a little bit down in number two. So it's obviously a good time to check in on what the Cavs are doing. Good time for the Cavs fans to check in on what the Celtics are doing. Chris, how worried are you by the Cavaliers' recent slump, and especially, you know, the defensive slippage that has gone on since the All-Star break, and really even since before then?
It's weird. I don't really know what to make of it at times, honestly. And that's sort of like a bad answer. But like, I think if you look at how they've played, they've looked awful. Like they've been giving up all those points to the Nuggets last week. Them getting throttled, you know, by the Wizards again on Saturday after they had a good performance against a Hornets team that I think is better than their record indicates, and then they had that awful game against the Spurs. You know, some of those things make some sense, right? The Nuggets have a great offense. I mean, Mike Prada from SB Nation pointed out that at least when he put up that video that he had on Nikola Jokic, they have the best offensive rating in the league over that span.
The Celtics are very well aware.
And then you have, like, the Wizards with John Wall. Like, I think the Wizards are uniquely suited to really push the Cavs. And the Spurs are really good, and the Cavs look terrible in that game. But at the same time, like, you look at the age of the team. I think they're the second oldest team in the league.
Been giving up points lately.
Yeah, they're the second, I think, oldest team in the league. They don't look fast. They don't look like they're playing with effort. And I think you have all these little issues that I think have compounded into something bigger. J.R. Smith has not looked like himself since he's come back. He didn't look like himself before his broken thumb either. Kevin Love has not looked really good since he's come back from knee surgery, particularly in defense. I think Tristan Thompson looks a little bit worn. I think Kyrie looks a little bit worn. Kyle Korver is having this foot issue. I think you're having all these things compounded into something bigger. At the end of the day, I don't really know how much the seeding matters. I don't know how much I think other teams can beat the Cavs, because I think the Cavs are still going to end up being the best team on paper. And I kind of am in this position where I look at all the data, I look at everything I know about them, and that those two ideas of what those things should tell me don't really mesh. Like, I think the Cavs probably theoretically should be I think they're probably fine until they show me that they're not in the playoffs when LeBron is going 100% and everything clicks. But all the data that we've seen with how bad their defensive rating is since the All-Star break, how bad they are defending transition, just the way that they're losing, that paints a very different picture.
Yeah, it's weird because I think the reason why people are not too worried about the Cavs is because of LeBron James.
Yes, 100%.
I mean, no matter what has happened over the last 6 years, he has always lifted his team up in the playoffs to the NBA Finals. Literally every single year, the last 6 years, he has gotten his team to the finals. And the Cavs and the Heat, like they have gone through issues. I would say most teams that he's been on have gone through lulls. And that's what happens in an NBA season. Like you go through spells where you're just not as good as when you're at your best. And the Cavs are in that right now. I think if it were any other team, if it weren't as such an accomplished team, if it were a team with anybody except LeBron James, I think the red flags would be going right now. And it's hard to determine how worried Cavaliers fans should be because they do have LeBron James.
Yeah.
And they have shown in the past, even last year, like in the playoffs, they were a different team. The 2 years ago in the playoffs, they were a different team. And so they do lift themselves up in the postseason. So it's just a weird, weird place to try to judge them. And I think the schedule has not been kind to them. They've been hopping from one time zone to the next lately. They're down a couple of guys. LeBron, are you worried at all that LeBron has played so many damn minutes this year?
See, I don't know if I worry about that because I don't know if I've seen anyone from everything I know about his routines and how he takes care of himself and just how careful he is. And I mean, his trainer is like working with him like pregame every game. If you look at that, like, I don't think there's ever been, as far as I know, at least a star player who has put in that much effort of maintaining his peak physical ability. Like those minutes, and like you can look at every way you want to measure minutes with LeBron for his career in particular, I think is troublesome. But if you look at the minutes played this year, he's not near the top of the league, and he's been first at least at times in minutes per game. But he's been lower in overall minutes. Like Kyle Lowry, until his injuries, was number one, and LeBron was somewhere in the 6 to 7 range. So he hasn't, you know, maybe added up as many minutes as he might have if he was doing that night in and night out. I think what's interesting is, I think other guys look tired. Like, I think Kyrie, after playing for Team USA and, you know, having to put on that much of a load last year, looks tired. I think Tristan Thompson, and again, looks, to me, really, really tired. And that, to me, is just super troublesome. Because if you look at him, he's not, you know, a great rim protector in the traditional sense, but he's incredibly valuable switching. He's needed because they need him to fill up the paint when guys are going to not be as good defenders and things kind of go wrong. He's the last line of defense in a lot of different ways. If he's not 100% in terms of that and in terms of his rebounding, I think that's a big problem. I almost kind of think that we may see Tyronn Lue hinted at this after the Spurs game. I think there's a chance you see the Cavs do some sort of crazy Doc Rivers-era Celtics resting thing, but there's problems with that too, right? Like, Kevin Love needs to play. J.R. Smith needs to play. Kyle Korver, if his foot's good, needs to get reps. And this team doesn't have a lot of continuity either. You know, like, they added all these guys, and they haven't figured out how to play together yet.
Yeah. Every night I look at the minutes, and I'm like, wow. Like, yeah. Every team in the NBA is trying to limit minutes, especially for the stars. And the Cavs, partially because of reasons that Ty Lue cannot control, all the injuries to perimeter guys, LeBron has just gobbled up minutes. Now, obviously, he's sat on it during some games and created quite a stir because of it.
So, kind of done, like, and just kind of like needlessly too. Like, it doesn't need it. It's like, I understand, like, if you're a fan and you're at that game, like, you're pissed that LeBron's not there. But, like,
yeah,
that's not on him. Like, I think that's a whole other conversation, but that's, like, to me, more on the NBA.
Yeah,
scheduling it that way than it is on LeBron.
I'm not a big fan of people who lash out at teams for sitting guys because the objective is to win a title, and sometimes that means sitting guys, and sometimes the best time to sit guys is during a nationally televised game. Like, how often are the Cavs not on national television?
Right, they're there all the time.
Yes.
Like them and the Warriors, like you can easily watch them, like anytime you want, and like league passes a thing too. So if they're not, I mean, I'll point out this too. Like Cavs fans, I think in general, like as someone who like covers the team and like is interacting with Cavs fans on Twitter and like see stuff, there is a little bit of panic though. Like, I will say that. Like, my dad actually texted me. He was like, I think they might lose in the second round. And then you had this
the
guy.
The second round?
Yeah,
okay.
Dude, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm like, Dad, that's a
I will
take.
Ask you this.
That's a hot take.
I will ask you this. Which team of the Boston, Washington, Toronto trio would you be most afraid of for the Cavs in a second round series?
I think Washington.
Okay.
I think Boston is, like, really close, but I it comes down to me and how those two teams can attack the opposition's point guard. Like, Boston's depth and ability to throw guys at the Cavs, to me, like, would really matter. But I think the rebounding thing, if the Cavs are good, like, they're going to out-rebound Boston. The thing with Washington that I saw, and this might be recency bias because I saw this on Saturday when I watched the Cavs and Wizards play. John Wall can just, like, do some things to the Cavs, and with his size, that I think is really, really problematic. Like, Isaiah can do a lot of the same things, and there's certainly a functional difference because of their size. But John Wall was just, like, getting down the floor, was putting the Cavs on their heels, and was also defending really well on the other end. And, a team that can push the Cavs like that, and then has Bradley Beal, that to me paints, like, a really big problem. And, like, I think Boston is, like, almost, it's, like, right there, too, just because of... They have guys that, like, they're not going to necessarily stop LeBron, but they can throw them at LeBron. Kyrie, in the last game the Celtics played the Cavs, Kyrie just kind of went into this attack thing on Avery Bradley that I think he can get sucked into in that matchup. Horford,
that's like my favorite matchup to watch.
Yeah, it's great because they're in a phone booth. They're in a phone booth, yeah. Just like going at each other. It's amazing.
I love that. It is fascinating because Kyrie is just, like, electric in one-on-one. He's one of the best one-on-one players of his generation.
Yeah.
And then Avery Bradley is maybe the only guy that can stick with him through, like, seven dribble moves at a time.
Yeah, he's the only guy I've seen, like, this year, like, even guys like Pep Beverly and like all these other guys, like, I haven't seen, like, them do that to him. And, like, that, and Boston just has those guys. They're really well coached. I think either of those two teams, and, like, Toronto, like,
Toronto's scary to me.
It's just like if is Lowry going to be healthy is my question. Like, they present matchup problems for the Cavs that, you know, didn't matter last year, but they all kind of bank on Kyle Lowry dominating Kyrie Irving. Like, him just, like, outplaying Kyrie to the point that Kyrie's defense just becomes this big issue, and maybe it's not as much in the playoffs because DeRozan's size makes it harder to move Kyrie around than the way the Cavs, like, might if they're playing Golden State or if they're playing Boston. Like, if the Cavs play the Celtics, he's not going to probably defend Isaiah. Like, J.R. Smith or Amon Shumpert's probably going to do that. And, of course, if Kor's on the floor, he's going to have to, but there's places you can put Kyrie in that matchup that you probably can against Toronto if they're fully healthy.
Yeah, that's Toronto's scary to me because their defense has been phenomenal since they picked up Tucker and Ibaka. And now they just have a veteran team with a lot of guys that know how to play, know how to defend. And if Kyle Lowry can come back and be what he was before the injury, they're scary. They are a two-way studly team. I think, to me, like, as I look at the Celtics' second-round possibilities, I think it matters less whether they're one or two than whether they avoid Toronto in the second round. I think Toronto will cause them the most damage. I go a different way on the Wizards. I think that their starting lineup is great, but their bench, you can pick on Bogdanovich, you can pick on Satoransky, you can pick on Brandon Jennings in a playoff series. Like, there are a lot of guys on that bench that are going to be – they have too many flaws to get away with them in a seven-game playoff series.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that either. Like, I think that's like –
yeah.
Like, they – and that starting lineup has just played so much this year. Like, you got to think – you know, if we're going to talk about, like, minutes, like, are they going to be worn down because of how many minutes that starting five has had to play? Like, to me,
yeah, it's almost like their good health could hurt them in the long run.
Yeah, like, they just get worn down, didn't get guys off. Let me ask you this. As someone who's covering Boston, I kind of have two questions about this. One, how confident do you think Boston is against the Cavs? I kind of would guess pretty confident. And two, what do you make of what's going on in Cleveland right now?
The first question, the confidence, I do think the Celtics would never admit publicly that they think the Cavs are vulnerable, but I mean, you look from afar and I don't think the Cavs have that aura of invincibility right now.
No, I don't
like
think they
do. Last year they were head and shoulders above everybody else. You know, Toronto won 56 games, but I don't think there was ever a doubt last year that that the Cavs were going to win the Eastern Conference. This year, because of not just the way they've struggled, but the way they've struggled for extended periods, it's like they've had months at a time where they've just been a normal team. And that's – I don't – tell me if I'm wrong, but that doesn't seem – from afar, that doesn't seem normal for them. Like, this seems to be as low as it's gotten for them since LeBron James returned.
Yeah, so I'm working on a piece about their defense as a whole. And overall, like, not even since the All-Star break, their defensive rating, which is, like, obviously not, like, 100% a perfect way to evaluate defense, it's the worst it's been in since LeBron's comeback. Like, it's worse than – I mean, it was at its – actually, weirdly enough, it was at its best during Blatt's last, like, half year before he got fired. last year, and then it like has regressed since Lou, I think, for a variety of reasons, including them wanting to play faster. And Lou was actually running the defense before, and I don't think Mike Lombardi, who took over that role, has quite been as up on that end. And I think personnel matters too. But the thing that I keep wondering about this is, if this was, you know, last year, maybe before they won the title, or if this was 2 years ago, that first year, I feel like there would be more panic. Like, we would have had, like, a bajillion LeBron subtweets right now, right? Like, we would have had on Instagram, like, you know, remember the Batman thing from last year? Like, that would have been a thing. Yep. I want to say what he's tweeted about recently is he had the thing of him, like, listening to Future outside his house and getting a cold when he was just, like, blasting Future and, like, singing Molly Percocet outside his house, drinking wine, eating JoJo, shout out to Akron. Then he tweeted about, like, went in this, like, leadership rant. He retweeted that Tim Duncan road tripping pod. And then he tweets today, 2 hours ago, as we record this, great workout, great lunch, now time for a great nap, !!! Like, he doesn't seem worried. And I don't get, like, after it being around the team when they've been at home, I don't think they're worried. Like, Tyronn Lue, when he had that quote that you might have seen where he talked about them needing to get better on defense and that he's not confident, but they have to, he laughed in the middle of that answer. Like, he chuckled to himself. So I don't really get the sense that they're, like, freaking out about this or worried. Like, I think they don't think it's ideal. LeBron has, you know, said things post-game that I think indicate that he's a little frustrated. But I don't think this is quite as them, like, freaking out as where they were last year or the year before.
Yeah, what's the most interesting to me, obviously, you look at their schedule, and the lull isn't completely unexpected. Like, the schedule, when it gets tough and there's so much travel, that teams suffer. And so I don't think that the rut is that unexpected. As I look at the Cavaliers, to me it's just the health. Like, you think back to the beginning of the season, and it seemed like the Cavaliers, after winning a title, were just unencumbered. And they were flowing, and everything was great. And it seemed like winning a title had unlocked that team to be even better than they were before. Now, can they get back to that? Is Kevin Love going to get healthy again? Is J.R. Smith going to return to his previous form? Like, those guys, Kevin Love was playing great before he got injured. J.R. Smith last year was phenomenal. It's just like, to me, if they're healthy and – then they've proven they can do it before. It's not a question of whether they can, but the defensive numbers have just been not too weird, because they are like an old team with some unathletic players in a lot of places.
Yeah. That's putting it pretty nicely too. they're not like Richard Jefferson has openly talked about when he's playing defense now. He doesn't like moving like side to side. He just like plants his feet and like uses his body because he's not quick enough to stand in front of guys anymore. Like, that's like a thing.
That's been a thing for like 6 or 7 years for him.
Yeah, he still like dunks on guys like all the time.
He's remarkable. I don't want to spend too much time talking about it because it's Richard Jefferson. I don't want to spend too much time talking about him on this podcast. but him extending his career has been fascinating to me. Just the amount of time he and Vince Carter have gone past when they were washed up. Yeah. Like, those guys were washed up a decade ago, and they're still contributors to good teams. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he actually credits it to, like, playing beach volleyball. Like, him, like, he said that, and then Luke Walton said the same thing where he rebuilt his leg strength while playing beach volleyball in summer when he thought he was going to retire. So, I mean, I guess that's amazing. But
I might have to hit the beach volleyball circuit, man. Yeah, I gotta make a late life comeback.
Yeah, get the vert up for your pickup games to go play some beach volleyball. get the vert up so you can get some more bounce. I just don't know what to think about this sometimes, to be honest with you. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it could turn out a couple different ways, and there's like certainly a couple things on the table. But sometimes I'm just like. Are we gonna look at this? Like, you said this already. Is this gonna mean anything in like a month and a half when it's game five and they're about to like advance to the finals or something like that? You know, like, is it gonna be something like that where it's just like, oh, like this is for nothing? But I just have a hard time like looking at what's going on and thinking this doesn't matter. Like, I just, that just feels like a weird disconnect to me.
Yeah, but also you've never rooted for, covered a team that is a champion. And I do think that champions and the Celtics, the big three Celtics, did this year after year, it seemed like, where they just got to a point where it was like, oh, whatever. like, we don't really need to be good. We've shown that for stretches of the season, we can be good. And we'll pick it up at the end of the season. And to be fair, there aren't a lot of teams that successfully do that.
No.
Like,
it's like the Owen, when it's I like think... the Owen Lakers, like the 95 Rockets. And then, I mean, coincidentally, wasn't it the Celtics team that knocked LeBron out of the playoffs last year in Cleveland? That kind of did the same
2010.
Thing? Yeah,
2010. Yeah. Yeah, and then coincidentally, that sent him to Miami, and then he has reached every final sense.
Yeah.
Which is why nobody's worried about the Cavaliers now.
Yeah.
So it all comes full circle. The Celtics, I don't know. It's a kind of a weird time to cover the Celtics, not necessarily because of where they are in the standings, but okay, they're first in the standings. Mm-hmm. And does anyone really think they're going to the finals? Like nobody. So they're first in the standings. They have cap space this summer. They have a lottery pick, top five, coming this summer. And everyone still wants to know, like, when are they going to get their next star?
Yeah.
You know? Whereas the Cavs are now below them in the standings, and it's like, oh, they'll be fine. They'll reach the finals and kick everyone's ass on their way to doing it. It's a really weird time. Like, today Isaiah Thomas was talking to the reporters and somebody asked him, where do you rank among the top teams? And he kind of had to say, like we're number one in the East, man. like at some point, like, you are what your record says you are.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're actually that good. They're net rating is plus 3.1, which doesn't at all line up with like a contender. I think the teams in the West, like the Spurs, the Rockets, and the Warriors, have been better than anyone in the East. Even if the Cavs make the finals, I have a tough time envisioning them knocking off at least the Spurs and the Warriors. Maybe the Rockets. I don't know if they play enough defense. That would be like 150 to 150 every game. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
The
thing.
But,
yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So, like, the thing, if they get there, like, if the Cavs get there, like, Golden State, of course, is, like, this tricky thing. But it's even, like, there's, like, stuff with the Spurs matchup that I think if they're healthy, like, goes a different way. Like, I think a healthy J.R. Smith, like, changes the dynamic of that series. I think the Kevin Love thing is really interesting because I'm not going to, like, after last year and, like, how he's played up until now, I don't really want to, like, say he doesn't matter. But it's, like, their best lineup is probably some version, potentially, of... in certain situations, I guess, like with him or Thompson at the five, and like you could argue that like Thompson's ability to switch is really useful, but like that two big lineup they have when the one then the helped win in the finals last year, and it was really good. And Love, like the thing that's like making I think him like the stuff like him, if you want to talk about like on a sort of unathletic non-bouncy guys, like their way they're utilizing him on defense is something that like Boston could rip apart in the playoffs. They're having him on pick and rolls come up really high, and he's supposed to, I think, make contact with guys, but he's missing almost every time. And I don't know how you get around stuff like that. Like, I'm not going to, like, say that I think it's, you know, them, they're going to lose or, like, that it matters if they're, like, the fourth seed or something like that. But it would, it wouldn't shock me if, like, at the very least, like, they're pushed more than last year. I kind of think, like, there's a medium in sort of these, like, they're not going to make the finals takes and then they're fine. Like, I think there probably is some medium in between these things.
Yeah, and it's kind of been I don't want to say weird to watch, but
it's been weird. It just doesn't make like, it just when they play that way, they played against Charlotte and then they play like these two back to back games. Like you'd expected, maybe the Spurs game to be the game where they like kind of get back on the right path, right? Like where they at least like play effort, and they did it for like 7 minutes, and then it was just like, okay, well, like, you know, this is gonna be fine. Now we're gonna lose, and they just kind of got destroyed. But then it was like, oh, they're not like real. They didn't seem like super frustrated about it. Like Kyrie kind of, I think, was like mad how he played. He took extra shots after the game and stuff. But like, it's just weird to like wrap your mind around some of this stuff. But then again, like you said, like the road trip, like how many games they played in March, like all that adds up, and when you have to play back to backs.
Yeah, and the Celtics are in like a perfect position schedule-wise. They got all their travel out of the way early in the season. Like they're just playing home game after home game. They only have 3 road games left. They're all on the East Coast. Like they can almost rest guys while still playing starters regular minutes. It's just the schedules went 2 completely different ways for them and the Cavs, and now they have this like really cushy schedule the rest of the way. And meanwhile, the Cavs are like. Like stretching themselves to the limits and not clashing with each other, but there's not doubts either, but like there are flaws being revealed there, and who knows if they'll matter at the end of the day. It's always been for the last more than the last half decade, we have LeBron James and you don't, and that's really all that matters here.
Yeah.
And maybe that's enough. Maybe health won't matter as much. Maybe defense won't matter. Maybe having the continuity or any real semblance of athletic depth won't matter because LeBron James is that good. Kyrie Irving is that good. And the rest of the shooters on that team are quality enough that the Cavs will just rain holy hell on everybody like they did last year in the East. Who knows? I'm fascinated by it because for the first time, it feels like the Cavs are not totally invulnerable.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think you look at the age of everybody. You just look at like how things are sort of working, and even just like personnel wise, they're old. Like. You know, like Kyle Korver is like a 35-year-old with a foot issue, and he's not like exactly a fleet of foot guy anyway, right? Like JR hasn't looked good. You know, like Deron Williams isn't like he's been like good in the pick and roll, but he's sort of like a little bit older. Like Cavs fans all the time will like tweet me and like send in mailbag questions and like comment on Fear the Sword about Derek Williams, and then because he's like this young guy who can like dunk, and I'm just like, well, like, what, did you watch him play for 17 seconds in the third quarter of that Spurs game? Like, he's not that good. Like he's Derek Williams. Like, I know he played really well early, but like, chill, you know? Like,
yeah,
that's where we're at, and it's a very like weird thing, and it's just maybe. I mean, this was sort of inevitable, right? Like when you build with LeBron, and we saw this with the Heat, and when you build and you get good right away, and you have to kind of flip your whole strategy of like how you're building with like through the draft versus through free agency, this is sort of like the inevitable conclusion when you go in all in on older guys, right? Like when Richard Jefferson and Kyle Korver and Channing Frye and these guys that are in their 30s and are veterans, and like, yeah, like this is sort of where that gets you, you know? There's not really a way around this, I don't think.
Yeah and it's setting us up for maybe the first exciting Eastern Conference playoffs since the Cavaliers got LeBron back.
And yeah,
I think there's more depth at the top of the East this year. Like, there was a year the Hawks were really good and then got decimated by the Cavs anyway.
Yeah.
But then last year the Raptors were really good. But other than, like, each year it's been one team. And now for the first time it feels like there are 3, not necessarily worthy challengers, but 3 teams that aren't at least aren't total pushovers in the Celtics, the Wizards, and the Raptors, whatever order you want to put them behind Cleveland. And it still is Cleveland number one. It is very clearly Cleveland number one. But but maybe they have holes. And they definitely have holes, but maybe those holes will actually finally matter.
Yeah.
We'll see. I doubt that it will matter, at least in the East, but we'll see.
What are you expecting out of that last? Because there is still that Cavs Celtics game next week. What are you expecting out of that one?
I mean, it all depends on whether the Cavs start to rest everybody, right?
Second half of back to back, mind you. They play the Orlando Magic the night before at home.
Yeah. So if everybody's playing, I very much look forward to watching it. If nobody's playing, I suspect the Cavaliers will get their asses handed to them. But we'll see. I mean, I do think that right now the Celtics are pretty heavy favorites, I would say, to actually win the regular season title.
Yeah, I kind of
just
think
because. Yeah, just because I do think the Cavs will at least pick a couple of games to rest guys, one or two at least, and it means more to the Celtics, I think, to have home court throughout, and maybe I'm wrong there. They never stress it internally, at least publicly, but it just seems like LeBron. What does it matter to him if he finishes first in the East? Like, yeah, cool. It'd be nice to have another game of home court in the Eastern Conference Finals, but really, what does it matter to LeBron and those guys? Whereas the Celtics, they've never won a playoff series. Most of these guys have never advanced out of the first round. They're in completely, completely different places. It was funny to listen to Isaiah Thomas because he answered a question about whether the Cavs were vulnerable, and basically he said, like, they're the Cavs. I don't think so, man. And then he was asked about what's different this year. How are they going to get out of the first round? He's like, I don't know. I've never been out of the first round. So it's going to be a fun run. I don't know what to expect from the Celtics after. I think they'll advance out of the first round, but from there, who knows? Are they better than Washington, Toronto? I don't know. Do they have a shot against Cleveland? Who knows? Yeah. I'm excited to find out. The Eastern Conference playoffs for the first time has my interest in the last 3 or 4 years or whatever it's been.
Yeah, we'll get out of the first round's going to be bad.
Oh yeah, it's going to be horrible. The first
round's going to be awful. Like hopefully Giannis makes it, just and hopefully the Bulls don't make it.
But like, I'm hoping Giannis, Paul George, like those guys just go wild and kind of, and then I think Miami could make a tough series for someone. That Miami team is playing good ball.
Yeah, let's get Deion healthy and get Deion back and cooking, because I need playoff Deion. I'm all in on the Deion Waiters is just gonna do crazy stuff. Like I'm there for Deion, just like ruining someone's mood during a playoff series.
I'm so in for playoff Waiters.
Yeah. Incredible.
All right. I have taken enough of your time. I really appreciate it, Chris. Thank you for coming on. Everybody that's listening, we are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Listen to my show, Locked On Celtics. Search for Locked On Celtics. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Audio Boom, wherever you get your podcast. Listen to his show, Locked On Cavaliers. Subscribe to him too. All of that. We appreciate you checking in. We'll be here Monday through Friday, like we always are. Thank you for listening to this edition of this crossover edition of Locked On Celtics and Locked On Cavaliers.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.